Thank you for joining us today. You're listening to the 8-4 Play Podcast, the one and only destination for Japan games and Japanese games. I am your host today. Tina is making a look. What's wrong?
This is my face. What are you talking about? It's my face.
She made a look. We'll get to it in a bit, but I am your host today, Gabriel All the Souls De Leon, your normal host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. He will not be joining us today because he is a dad again. Congratulations, Mark.
All over again.
You could have, you could have brought that in with the news theme and had some breaking news and started off with bang, you know, Gabe.
I'd be okay if this podcast added were a just
fan,
news.
Added a fan already, to the Mark. News theme, fan base.
Something. I would like to start our nickname introductions. Everyone joining us today on the panel, I would like us all to start this nickname introduction. When you say hello, please respond with a praise be Arceus, please. So joining me, Tina, the Master Carter, praise be Arceus.
I'm the master. I don't praise nobody. Bitches be praising me because I'm a Pokemon master now, Gabe.
What do you mean, Pokemon Master? Can you clarify?
I mean that I have got to be the one, the only one, who can withstand the test and be the best, Gabe. I got to strive, keep up the drive, and be a master of the Pokemon.
I was going to say, wasn't that a Pokemon rap?
It absolutely
yeah, all right, I caught on. Yes, Tina, you did it.
I did it. I got master rank on Pokemon Unite 2 days before the season reset, so it doesn't exist anymore, but I got a screenshot to prove it.
I am clapping for you because I know how hard that is.
I know nothing about this. How hard is that? What does that take?
I mean, I play the game by myself all the time, which means that sometimes I get a great team and sometimes I get people that seem like they have no idea how the game works. But also just like, not everybody agrees on how the game should be played. So some people focus on one objective and some people focus on a different one. And it's not always great.
Sometimes you got a Charmander and he's just running around in the jungle doing nothing.
it's a fun time. So it's just a lot of playing the game over and over and losing once and winning three times and losing once and winning three times.
And so you're winning, your rank is gradually moving up and but then it gets reset. How often are these seasons?
So this is the third season since the game's launch just started a few days ago. So they're quite long. You do have quite a lot of time there, but at the end of a season, you get brought down to a specific point based on what your maximum rank was. So last season, I think I was veteran at the end of the season. So I ended up starting over at the beginning of expert, I think, which means
it's a tier down.
So much time lost.
That's like 15 wins, right? That's 15 wins in a row to get back to veteran.
More?
Oh, geez. That's hard. Win rates generally stay around 50% or so.
If you're playing completely solo all the time, it really is like a 50-50 balance, I think. Yes. Like this season, my win rate was a little bit better, but I don't think it's definitely no higher than like early 60s, I think. And I felt like I was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So a lot of what you're saying relates to my Apex experiences, but they have like a ranked version there, but they reward you.
Let me introduce you. Please go on once I introduce you.
Okay.
Praise be Arceus. that there is Roy Craft Cola Blakely.
Praise be to Arceus.
There you go.
We will accept that in this church. Please continue.
Okay. So in Apex, the following season, they reward you with a treat based on how far you got in the previous season. Some kind of thing you could show off in some way. Do they do anything like that in Pokemon?
You do get currency rewards for how high you rank. So, you get more money depending on how high your rank was.
That's all, though? I mean, like, anybody could just Joe Schmo could buy some money, right? Like, that doesn't...
There are some currencies you can buy and some currencies you can't. And like some of the currencies have a cap for how much you can get in a certain amount of time. So getting a whole bunch of it at once is exciting, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't buy very much stuff in the game. So like I'm rolling in money and I just don't really care.
Is there not a lot of stuff right now? Not a lot of cool stuff?
I mean, there are a lot of like outfits for your trainer. You can buy lots of different items to equip your Pokemon to do different play styles. And there are lots of different Pokemon that you have to buy the privilege of being able to use them in the game. But like, I just roll with my buddy Pikachu all the time, and he's got a pretty sweet setup that I haven't changed in months. So I don't spend money on anything.
Huh. You don't main Talonflame anymore. What happened?
Yeah, I remember you were using some bird.
Oh yeah, so I was using some bird, and then I was like, I'm losing a lot, and maybe I'm not good at this. So I tried switching from jungling, which I realize now, like, why the fuck did I think that I should start out jungling when I've never played a MOBA before? Sorry to everybody I played with before that.
Did you say jungling or juggling?
Yes.
Jungling. It's the,
just practicing.
You know how the, you played it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the map is like a elongated donut, and in the middle is the jungle, air quotes. So instead of having upper path and lower path, there's the middle part is the jungle. And so if you're the jungler, your job is to go around and kill a bunch of wild Pokemon and get a whole bunch of experience points and zippity zoop your way around the map and dunk on the other team while everybody else is in group fights on the other side of the map. And like my ass wasn't doing that. So things were not going well for anyone.
I see.
So I tried switching. Like I did a whole bunch of reading about how to play it and stuff, and was like, maybe I should rein it in a little bit. And I switched to the easiest to use attacker on a specific path and learned how to do it. And then things started going better.
Interesting.
This is why I stopped playing Pokemon Unite, because Tina and I hit the same crossroads, and I went, I'm good. I had fun. Tina went, I'm going to keep going. But Roy, we haven't gotten into Craft Cola. You put this on Twitter. It was sometime back in late January.
Yeah, it's funny. I just saw a YouTuber who bought the same thing, and I was like, I was there first.
Trendsetter.
Yeah.
So what is this?
What was it? Was a was this at a normal konbini or some sort of?
Yeah, just the local Lawson had it. It was really? Like a. God, I forget the name of the company. They make that terrible cider soda.
Oh, the one with the apple on it. That's
yeah.
Oh, that one's horrible.
What's it? What are they called? Hold on, I got.
Oh, it's Mitsuya. It's Mitsuya.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So they make some kind of, they call it a craft cola. I'm sure it's just high fructose corn syrup and carbonated water.
So what is it though? Is the idea that it's supposed to be some kind of fancy Coke or I don't get
it. Yeah, it had. I think it had like actual citrus juice in it or something.
Was it good? Here it says it has citrus and spices on the label. Was there citrus or spices? Do you remember?
I mean, it tasted a little bit nicer than a normal Coca-Cola.
Okay.
I wouldn't go out of your way for it. But mostly I bought it because when I was looking at the label, judging it like this is just high fructose corn syrup and carbonated water, I turned the bottle over and there was this sick little turtle on the back with, I guess, like their name. Means like basically three arrows, and he had like the three arrows tied to his back
in a little quiver.
Yep. So that sold it. I bought it.
Must own.
Good packaging.
Thank you. And finally, praise be Arceus. We have John Tomato Ricciardi, or should I say Tomato Ricciardi?
You should say Riccardi. That's what you should say.
Should I say Riccardi?
Yes. And you and Mark. Whoops. Mark has known me for like 50,000 years and still says my name differently every time. I think he does that on purpose.
If he doesn't, that's a problem.
I do not praise Arceus. I praise Arceus.
That's fine. We accept all denominations here on this podcast.
Yeah.
Praise be.
Are you talking about my tomato adventures?
Yes.
Or from 20 years ago?
Yeah, you put that on Twitter, was it last week?
Yeah, well, our friends over at MinMax have been raving about a Game Boy Advance game called Tomato Adventure, which came out 20 years ago, I think last week. I don't know if that's why they're playing it now. I didn't watch their footage. I just saw a lot of their tweets and stuff. But it reminded me of my time when I first came here. Cause yeah, I moved here in 2000. This game came out in the end of January 2002. So I was still kind of fresh here. And I just have these really nice memories of playing through that game. It was like an early era Game Boy Advance RPG from the Mario and Luigi guys. And Alpha Dream, who are longer with us, sadly. But like it had like the same game director, one of the game directors at least, was the guy who made Super Mario RPG. So it already had the DNA of that game to begin with, like before the Mario and Luigi stuff happened. And I think I was just looking for something cool to play, and it looked cool and different and cute. And I played through it, and I just have like nice memories of like, you know, kind of holding up on my couch and playing through this like probably 20-hour, you know, Game Boy Advance RPG.
Was your first Japanese apartment?
It was, yeah. And that's a nice, I don't think it's a like, I don't know. Is it a getting old thing or, I'm still very young, or is it a, just sort of, I wish I had more time. Everybody wishes they had more time, right? Like when I was like, we always joke like, oh, when you're in college, you have time to play everything. But also thinking back to that era when the Game Boy Advance came out, my only job was to basically like buy magazines every week and like report back to like people in America about what was going on in games. Cause I was kind of like EGM's Japan guy at the time after I had gotten here. And like,
yeah.
So I think that's all I did was I kind of forgot about that era until I was thinking about this game. And I was like, man, what a time that was. Like that winter, I remember sitting in my apartment, snowing outside, and all I'm doing is like just playing like Game Boy Advance on my couch for like hours, and it was bliss. And like now I'm busy all the time, work is busy, and I don't have kids or anything. I have cats, but like, you know, it still feels like, oh, I wish I could go back to that era of just having like endless time to play video games and not worry about, you know, shit like my back or like, you know, stuff you have to think about after like a certain age. It was a good time. I was like 20, you know, 25 or something like that. I don't know how old I was, but it was a good time. But yeah.
Awesome.
That's where that came from.
Very cool. Well, I think we should get into it. Praise be Arceus. Thank you, John. Pokemon Legends. Arceus. Or what is the Japanese pronunciation, John?
Arceus.
Arceus? Okay. Resetter, you let me know how it's supposed to be said. Pokemon Legends Arceus came out last Friday, if I'm not mistaken, and I think I'm the only person here today that actually has not touched it. So I'm actually really, really curious what on earth this game is, because I have not been following any of the marketing or anything like that.
Pokemon Legends hype!
I thought for sure you would be into it, Gabe. Why haven't you dove in yet?
So Gen 4 is sort of a lost generation for me. I very much
was Gen 5 not? Like, were you like into other gens, but you happen to just skip 4 or?
Yeah, I actually skipped 3 and 4 and 6. Those were when I was too cool for Pokemon. 6, I just kind of didn't care. I also didn't get Gen 8. But yeah, so like Gen 4, like, I know a ton of people that really like Diamond, Pearl, the other one. Platinum. But like for me it was just sort of like, okay, cool. So like I have no nostalgia or anything. When the remakes came out, I was like, ah, maybe, you know, I kind of haven't played Pokemon. And then Arceus came out.
The easy thing to do would just be to call it Pokemon Legends like everyone does.
Sure, and I'm going to call that Pokemon Big A from now on. Praise be Big A. So like for me, I had no like particular, for lack of a better word, interest in both the remake and Pokemon Legends coming out. So like I know it's not a normal Pokemon game. So like I'm definitely over here on the sidelines going, how is this turning out?
Just before we dive in real quick just to kind of set the table. So I've only played a couple hours myself. But I'm curious, like, just hour-wise, Tina and Roy, like, how much time have you guys spent with the game?
Roy?
Tina?
probably 10 to 20, but, and this is, I should preface this, like...
All in the first area, like, picking areas.
Yeah, I'm one of those people who, like, time doesn't necessarily equate to progress.
right.
So, we can go into that, why that is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina, what about you?
I checked my play clock before we started recording, and I'm at 23 hours. Okay. But okay. I think I'm the same as Roy, where like I'm not in a hurt. Like, who do I have to impress? I don't give a shit. I'm gonna do this and have
You're
fun.
You're a master already.
And chill. Yeah, I'm already a master. It doesn't matter. But yeah, like I've seen people on Twitter who said that they've rolled credits after like 17 hours or something, which blows my mind because I'm having so much fun noodling around, wasting my time I don't know why you would ever want to rush through this.
This is like the funnest Pokemon to just play in a while. Like normal gameplay wise.
Right. And like. it's as everybody I'm sure knows, but it takes like quite a detour from the usual style of Pokemon gameplay, right? It's a,
Time out. Before we get too into it, just for spoilers, we're going to do no narrative story spoilers, but we're going to talk about gameplay specifics. Is that fair?
Yeah. I don't know that anybody really cares about the story that much.
Honestly,
anyway.
People really care about the story, my dude.
I will complain in broad strokes about the story, but I will try to avoid specifics.
Okay, maybe let's say then, like, we're going to spoil the beginning of it, so if you really, really care, don't listen to us at all.
Sure. I mean, the very beginning is not. There's trailers and stuff, I'm sure, that have gone into some of this stuff.
Trailers specifically didn't get into that. That's why it's really? Spoilers.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. So I was going to go really broad strokes anyway, because again, I've only played a little bit. But like, you know, before it came out when they showed it, it was like, oh, okay, this is a... It looked kind of like open world, you know, ish Pokemon, but if you're comparing it to the old games. If you go back to the last one, what was it, Sword and Shield? The last, like, new one. There were those 3D parts where you're exploring, and it was like kind of like, oh, I guess they decided to take that and do something with it and turn it into like a full game proper. And you know, obvious comparisons to like Breath of the Wild or whatever were made purely from looking at it visually, right? Like big open fields and just lots of area to explore and stuff. And then having sat down and actually played the game, like the immediate thing for me, I'm going to go in first because I don't have a lot to say. I haven't played that much. Was just like, oh, like these guys really took pages right out of the playbook of Monster Hunter, you know, like in terms of like, obviously like you're not going around with a giant axe, like slaying Pokemon, but like you've got like just a sort of, and again, this is only early on. So maybe this changes. And if it does, I want to hear it from you guys, but like at least early on, you're establishing, you know, a home base essentially. And then you're going out on quests from a camp. And, you know, even your item interface looks the same as Monster Hunter. And, you know, you're going after the creatures and you're kind of performing research and doing these things in the field that, aside from the actual action of getting into it with fighting the monsters, a lot of elements feel very Monster Hunter-y to me.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, like, now...
Monsters or Pokemon? Monsters or Pokemon are you fighting?
Pokemon are monsters, Gabe.
They're pocket monsters. Those are different.
It's the same thing.
tomato, tomato.
Arceus, Arceus.
Well, like, so my question is, like, are you fighting sort of like fodder stuff, or is it Pokemon from the previous games?
No, it's all Pokemon. It's Pokemon. Okay. I mean, as far as I've seen, it's all Pokemon. And, you know, you're not only fighting them. Like, I mean, the game first teaches you, you know, how to throw Pokeballs, which is done with the ZR trigger now, where you kind of like aim, you can aim and you throw the ball. And some, like, Pokemon have different, I don't know what you call it, like levels of, you know, catchability or like aggression or whatever they call it. And so if they're chill, it's pretty easy to just throw a ball at them and catch them. But if they're not, you may have to instead throw another Pokemon at them and start a fight and get into the kind of traditional Pokemon fight, but from like a different viewpoint. And, I would say gameplay in that sense is not that different from Pokemon, right? The fights are. At least at first. I want you to go into it, so I'll stop in a second. But like, so yeah, on the surface, it's like they took, you know, I think Pokemon and sort of dipped it in Monster Hunter and came out with this thing that is, in my opinion, definitely way more Monster Hunter than Breath of the Wild. Whereas before I touched it or knew anything about it, I was thinking this is going to be like Breath of the Wild meets Pokemon. I'll save opinions for later. But I'm curious. So. Do you guys have a similar first take when you guys played Tina and Roy?
Well,
do you want to go last? You want to go first?
So one thing I want to preface all of this with is I think it's important to know if you don't already that like this game is like the prequel of all Pokemon games. Like, this is the very beginning of, like, the Pokemon timeline. So it's like, at this point, a lot of things were unknown. Like, everything about Pokemon and, like, charting them. And like, in this world, like, Pokemon are, like, dangerous. Which I think is there's another, cool. like, reminds me of Monster Hunter. So it's like, everybody's yeah. talking about how, like, oh, if we go outside of this camp, like, we're sure to get attacked by Pokemon. It's going to be brutal. And
that's right. Early on, they're kind of talking about them in a sort of like they're very dangerous creatures. And,
yeah.
And they also talk about how like because right in the beginning of the game, you're tasked with like catching a couple of them. And they're like, oh, my God, no one's ever caught that many. We, like they're all like mm-hmm. still figuring out just how to catch these guys and stuff. and yeah. like the concept of a Pokedex and Pokeballs were like kind of just conceived, apparently, in the timeline or whatever. So in that sense, maybe it is like Breath of the Wild because this is supposed to be the beginning of the story or whatever.
Yeah, mm. and it's true, like, everybody thinks you're amazing for doing, like, the simplest of things. Like, there's this whole village of, like, adults who just can't figure out how to throw this ball at a, like, a Pikachu that walks in circles. But
not even a Pikachu, a fucking yeah. Bidoof. They're like, oh, watch out for the fluffy guy.
But I will say, like, to me, the biggest thing is the loop that, John, I think you touched on a little bit, which is, like, you have this open world. you find Pokemon in different environments. The goal is to catch them or fight them. But they've introduced, like, stealth mechanics now where, like, you can crouch. Right. You could, like, crouch through grass to prevent being seen. And when you whip a Pokeball, if you, like, knock them in the back of the head, that, in, like, increases your chances of catching them. And you know, it's a good sized map. I don't know, like, all I want to do is that, basically. Just like find a new area. Okay, this new area has this one Pokemon that I really like. I'm gonna catch enough to complete the Pokedex entry, which that is handled differently. Like in the past, there was just have you seen the Pokemon? Have you caught the Pokemon? Right. Now it's yeah. like there's a number of things you can do that add progress to your Pokedex for that particular Pokemon, which includes like fighting them, seeing them do different attacks, using certain attacks on them. So mm-hmm. it's like it's really good about basically rewarding just about everything that you would do normally in a Pokemon game.
And it's not just like a number of things that they want you to do. It's doing those number of things numerous times as well. So it's not mm-hmm. like just catch them is one of the seven things or whatever. It's like catch 25 of them or something, right? To get the like full. Is that how you like complete the entry? Do you have to do everything to the max number of times or do you just have to do everything once?
So it's about, you want to get, I think, 10 points. Each thing that you can do is weighed differently.
Okay.
So like the more that you catch, like you, that's usually how I max it out is just catch a whole bunch of them. But I think it's like catch one is 1 point, two is 2 points. I don't know. It scales weird, but
sure. Sure. I see. So you can,
but then you also have the option of like defeating them with a certain type right. of move or seeing them use a certain right. move, which, you know, you can, rationalize as studying type advantage, disadvantage, because they don't know about that yeah. stuff yet. And you get points for evolving them. So all that stuff contributes I see, but, to but it. But any combination of those tasks that comes out to 10 points.
I see. That's
it.
What I was getting to. Okay. That makes sense. So then you don't, yeah, gotcha. Like you could just play it the way Roy's doing it, where like you're basically finding something that's not so hard and doing it over and over again. Or you could, you know, if you want to, I don't know, explore the game more and do a bunch of other stuff, you could come back to it and just like, as you're playing, try these different things or see these different things. And at least everyone that I've seen too usually has one kind of very specific thing at the bottom of the list to do. I don't remember.
Sometimes they have a side quest associated okay. with them that it's a little bit unfortunate that that's on the page because you're like, oh, I'm going to get a side quest about this later. Okay. But you have to wait for a person to give you the side quest that will then unlock that entry eventually. Mm.
So and that loop that we were just talking about, Roy, also, would you say, so, you know, I think when you go out of the town, you leave your town, at least in the part that I played so far, and, you know, you go to your camp, air quote camp, and then you start your investigation, your research. And that feels like a zone to me, like a Monster Hunter map or something, like an old school Monster Hunter map, you know, like this is the desert area or whatever, for example. And mm-hmm. then is it like there are other you know, zones as well that you'll go to where you'll probably do a whole bunch of shit in that first area, but then is there then like a second map that opens up and then you go do a bunch of new stuff in that area? Is that kind of how progression happens?
Tina's
nodding.
Go ahead and answer, Tina.
Yes, it is, John. I take it you haven't left that first area yet then.
Me, no. I'm only in like I've only played like 3 hours or so, but you know, so
you
do, right.
You get more camps. I know that much at least.
Mm.
Like more camps in the same zone. I don't know if there's like a whole new zone entirely.
At least a couple more zones.
If you open up the world map, you can kind of like right in the middle of the game, you can kind of see. So I sort of assumed, but
cool. One thing.
It's pretty exciting when the map opens up because it's totally different. Mm. It's totally different. I'm in the third area. I don't know how many there are, but I'm in the third one now.
Damn. Is there an emphasis on like general geography of like deserty, foresty, or is that just sort of like?
Yeah, they're all very distinct geographic types of locations. And then within them, they have different kinds of areas. Like in the first one, there are very visibly like fields versus river creek area versus sort of hilly mountainous area. So within one zone, there are little geographic spots.
Gotcha. But there's that like an overall theme, and if that makes sense.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. But I don't want to say what they are because these guys haven't seen them yet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Were you about to bring up something else or?
So I love the loop so much because it's like completely new, but I feel like it combines, like we were talking about Monster Hunter to some degree, like with the, you have like a star rating is another thing that they just lifted right out of Monster Hunter.
Oh, right. Yes. like in terms of like, I don't know if it's difficulty or just like level of what you're doing in that thing, but
yeah, it's like
the higher the rank, the higher the challenge, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of replaces the badge system from what you would consider like a mainline, a standard Pokemon game, because the badges are basically, you know, you've completed a dungeon, here's your reward. But in game functionally, they determine what level of Pokemon will obey you. And that's what your star ranking does too.
Huh.
Mm. But yeah, so I love all that. But, and I will say the beginning of the game is mercifully light on dialogue. And just like, it kind of just throws you right in, which like, to me, that's one of my biggest complaints about Pokemon games is that they're always so handholdy in the early hours. Mm-hmm. So like you walk 5 steps, some idiot who like has the one thing that they do, their one character quirk, does it 3 times in 5 message boxes, repeat until finally they let you go. Okay. But in this one, real good about just letting you go. But then I don't know. I'm struggling like to want to progress in the story because every time I do, it's a whole lot of talking and I'm not.
It's a whole lot of potato mochi.
Yeah, a whole lot of potato mochi. I'm not digging it. Like I liked the early stuff where it's like, okay, it's kind of like a frontier, like a Pokemon frontier. And it's real dangerous. Go out there and explore. But then they introduce a lot of, kind of anime tropes of like cliques and hierarchies, and I don't know. It's I'm struggling, you guys.
I will say that cuts down significantly after a certain point.
Okay.
I think like for a while when you first are playing, basically every time you go back to camp and you report with the professor, he's like, let's go eat. And you're like, oh, okay. And so then you have like a whole
cutscene where you go back and eat.
And then you get like you have to have a conversation with your friend. And then somebody's going to challenge you to a battle in the city that you're going to win with like one move because that's what always happens. And the first couple of times you do kind of have to go through that every single time. But after you get past a certain point, I'm at the place where every time I go back to check in with the professor, he's like, can I look at your notes? I'm like, please do. And he's like, great, you got 600 points, only 3,000 more to rank up. I'm like, fuck. So I'm not getting all that. I'm not getting all that much potato mochi anymore.
Okay.
So that does chill out.
Cause I keep just,
unless you, you know, specifically progress through story points, in which case, you know, That's what's going to happen.
Is this a single player only Pokemon? Is there any, like, I don't know, trading or battling or that kind of stuff, like the usual?
It does.
There's trading, okay. I think. I haven't tried it out, but there's a lady with a cart, and one of her menu options is, I want to trade Pokemon.
There is one other.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, yeah, trade with other players, either.
Okay.
I think locally, or you could, like, make like an online room with like a passcode.
Okay.
But the other thing that they introduced that I've been into is like, you can, while you're walking around the world map, you could just straight up get knocked out by a Pokemon.
I saw that.
And when that happens, you drop, like Dark Souls style, you drop some of your gear.
Oh no.
And you can find other players dropped loot and like return it to them. By finding it, you like somehow give it back to them.
Oh, and so you don't get to keep it.
Well, they give you like this currency that you only get from doing that.
Okay.
Which you can use to buy like items needed for evolutions, like some of the more end game evolutions. And a lot of these, like, I don't know if we talked about this yet, but like you can kind of tell when a Pokemon is way stronger than you are because it has like these glowing red eyes. That's okay. Like the game being like, maybe don't tackle this thing just yet. But that's where you're going to find all of those dropped character loot packages.
Like
yeah.
Near the alpha Pokemon, Alpha's as they the term, are called. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I think that's a really cool idea. I do wish there was a little bit more. Like, Sword and Shield had raids in it, which I really enjoyed, like being able to try to take on like a really tough Pokemon with like a group of strangers. That was super fun. But nothing like that this time around.
Yeah. Yeah. This makes me really wonder what's next. I mean, I know it just came out, so it's not time to think about that yet, but I just kind of, given what Sword and Shield was and what I think a lot of us thought it could have been, like, and I know you guys loved it and you filled out, you got your whole Pokedex and everything, but I just mean, there were parts of that game too, where you're like, man, if only this was full 3D or if only this was that or whatever. And like, and then now you've got this game, which is kind of in a total different direction, but has some really good elements. I wonder if like whatever's next is going to be a combination of the two somehow, or are they going to keep them as like two separate lines, that where the classic one keeps its kind of classic tendencies and this one kind of goes off in its own direction. Because it seems like, I mean, from everyone here and from a lot of what I've seen outside too, it seems people are digging this new kind of approach to Pokemon. Pokemon,
well, you were showing us,
because that's what it feels like.
You were saying it actually sold extremely well. That's what you shared with us in Slack,
it did,
right?
Like right before we started here, like it sold in 3 days in Japan. Where is that? It sold like, what was it, 1.4 million copies?
I think that's right.
That's just physical and download cards. That's not like including eShop sales. And so that game did really, really well. We are in an era where most games do not sell that much anymore in Japan, especially not in 3 days. Kind of reminds me of the early 2000s or whatever, when the big games would sell 3-4 million, you know, over their lifespan. Like, that's a lot of copies of Pokemon to sell in 3 days.
So Tina or Roy, how are you guys finding the game? Are you finding it challenging? Because I know that's a recent criticism, especially of the newer Pokemon games,
that it's hard.
Well, not necessarily hard, but like Pokemon is kind of easy to play through, and I know that there's been an appetite for something a little bit more tricky from future Pokemon games.
Well, I mean, because of the way that this game is set up, you can just balls out charge a Pokemon that's way above your level anytime you want. Like, I, early in the game, was just, you know, strolling down a river, minding my own business, and, like, jumped out of my skin because I saw this giant fucking Snorlax stomping around with glowing evil eyes. And I was like, holy fuck. And like the music changes when you approach an alpha Pokemon, which, you know, instills the gamer fear. I was like, oh shit. And so I like crouched real low and like snuck up and threw a berry away from me so that it would go and look at the berry so I could sneak up closer behind him just to look at it, like just to get him close enough that I could see what level it was.
Oh, wow.
And it was like level 45 or something. And my dudes were like level 7. I was like, fuck, and immediately booked it the other way, like desperately hoping it didn't notice me. So if you want to, you can take on dudes that are way above your pay grade. Like, no one's stopping you.
But do you realistically have any chance of actually catching them or beating them? Probably not, right?
So, I mean, nothing's impossible, I guess, but I would say that it's not. You're not gonna get that guy for a while. Come back later. Because, like, I went back and tried to face off against it with, like, a bunch of level 30 Pokemon and, like, got my ass destroyed. Oh, wow. Like, that motherfucker knows Hyper Beam. It's not good. It was not a good scene. But, like, yeah, you can just vibe and go around and pick apricorns and pick some medicinal herbs and make some potions.
That's another good thing to talk about is, like, there's so many items in this game, similar to Monster Hunter, where it's, like, you're always, like, there's always something to pick up. And then there's all these things that you combine to make and then use in some way.
Yeah, you throw and you could.
I am struggling that my satchel is full all the time. Like every time I encounter an item, I have to like pull out my crafting set and craft like a couple of Pokeballs to clear out the tumble stones so that I have room to pick up this other plant.
Oh, so you're doing a lot of that. Like, and then, oh, that's right. And there's an item box at the camp as well, which is also straight out of Monster Hunter, right? And I assume is that where you can go store some of that excess shit so you can then go back and get more? Is that the idea? Does it work like the traditional video game item box where it like magically just transports your shit wherever you need it to? Or
no, you have to manually put your shit from your satchel into the storage. And then if you're using the crafting station at a base camp, you can craft using materials in storage as well. But if you're crafting in the field, you can craft only with what you have in your satchel.
That makes sense. Yeah, and that was another thing you can do too, is you can throw Pokemon at trees and then Gabe, and that will knock stuff out of the trees that just, and you automatically get them, like, you know, berries and things like that.
Berries and apricorns, and sometimes there's Pokemon.
You also can throw them, at least early on too, you can throw them at like, there's even like, I don't know what you would call them, but like the mining spots in Monster Hunter or whatever, like ore, basically. You throw them at ore and get that too. It's like, it's very, you know.
Did you say Pokemon or Pokeballs?
Pokemon. You throw your Pokemon. Cause you're throwing your Pokemon in this game to start fights, right? Like when you want to fight somebody, you throw your Pokemon at it. The same way you throw a ball at it, you throw your Pokemon at it instead. And so in this sense, I guess you could throw balls at trees maybe, but that's like wasting a ball. So I don't know if that works or not.
I've accidentally done that several times and it just goes plonk and lands on the ground and you're like,
you can't pick it up again, right? You've lost it.
No.
No, it's fine.
I actually wonder about that too. Like talking about the difficulty and how Pokemon generally tries to skew towards like, this is a game that a child can play. Even I sometimes struggle with the, do I have a Pokemon queued up or do I have a Pokeball/item queued up? And sometimes I'm whipping the wrong thing and I'm like, can little kids actually, you know, do they have the cognitive functions to, you know, to like know what they've done to, I mean, that they have Pokemon ready and how to make it become a Pokeball?
It tells you early on, like, make sure you check what you're holding. You wouldn't want to throw an empty Pokeball by mistake and waste it. Like they say that a couple of times and it's always on the bottom of the screen and like kids are smarter than we give them credit for generally.
Totally.
So like they could probably
figure
it out.
Press X basically, Gabe, if you're trying to, like, you press X and it swaps like between your balls and your mons. And
it is Monster Hunter, right?
It's very, I mean, that item thing, even the way you choose your items in the little thing on the bottom right of the screen is like exactly the same. It's not even like close. Oh, wow. It's just like they took the interface and used it. It's like the same item interface.
And I feel like having played, because I'm completely sinking all free time I have into this game. I'm loving it. And I'm like, shit, I really wish that Monster Hunter onboarding was better because I would probably really like it. Like, if I could understand it to the level that I'm understanding the game that I'm playing now, I would probably really like Monster Hunter.
Sunbreak's coming out soon.
But, like, that's just not going to happen.
Maybe this is, like, we've onboarding. Already, maybe like, maybe after you're done with this, if you go back and try Rise again, you might have a better experience. But, again, I think, you know, we're not counting the fact that the combat, which is the core essence of Monster Hunter, is a completely different beast, no pun intended, you know, to what's going on here. And so you still got a pretty different game, but you at least have the same kind of wrapper and you know, candy coated scent or whatever that's drawing you in is all kind of the same. But once you get in the heart of it, it's quite a different game. So
So
that said, I am kind of not so into the murder and looting their corpses for parts.
Once you make the first hammer out of their parts and you're like, you forget all about how awful it feels to take the life of a living creature.
I think you were talking about Pokemon for a second there. I was like, wait, you're murdering Pokemon too? I haven't gotten that far.
I was like, what'd you do to that girl?
Monster Hunter is very clear. All the hunts are ecological necessities. It is about preserving the environment.
Feel less bad, though, of like fucking just like air slashing down to the ground and chopping off some motherfucker's entire tail.
It's the Jaggies or the swamp. You gotta pick. And I'm gonna pick this.
Who likes swamps? Nobody likes the swamp.
The first environment thing that came into my head.
I remember when it must have been Monster Hunter World, I guess, came out. It was like in the early era of my dating my now wife. And like, you know, I remember her watching me play and like, she was like, she was really interested in the game too, but she was definitely affected by like the monster cries and stuff because it sounds like creatures and stuff. And then also she always makes fun of me too because like, you know, I would, after like a particularly tough fight, I'd be like, yeah, motherfucker, whatever. Like, get like all into it and stuff. And like, he'd mimic that back to me. Like, that's your Monster Hunter voice. Like, oh, God.
Right. So,
but a little different here.
Yeah. But like, sort of back on the Pokemon Legends, is the combat the standard? Like, you have Tackle with 30 PP, you use Thundershock, Tina?
So, it is, but it's not in a cool way. Because it's basically the same thing. Yes, you have your fight item, Pokemon swap, run buttons. But while the Pokemon battle's happening, you as a trainer are free to run around, which is very exciting as someone who grew up watching the show, because it's way more like the cartoon where it's like your person and you can change the angle that you're watching this fight from. Wow. And some of the Pokemon, like some of the wild Pokemon when you're fighting them, they will fuck with you. I had a ghost Pokemon doodle-loot up behind me so that my own Pokemon's attack would hit me.
Whoa.
Right? Whoa. And I don't know if it did that on purpose, but I choose to believe because it's very in character for the Pokemon that it was. So like you can, as like your trainer can get hit by Pokemon attacks if you're in the way. Cool. So like bitch, stay out the way.
I don't think I tried because like I'm just trained not to, so I don't even know if I've moved.
Yeah, you are free to move around and they've made battle a little bit more fluid in that you don't have to use the menus if you don't want to. If you want to throw a Pokeball, you can press up to open the item menu and select it from your, you know, inventory. Or you can just press the right trigger like you do on the field to throw a ball. And to run away, you don't have to select run. You can just fucking run. And when you get far enough away, the battle will automatically end.
I didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are interesting.
That's cool.
Developments, yeah.
It is cool.
Also, I noticed that if you get hit by certain attacks, your trainer can suffer from status ailments.
Whoa.
I mean, so there's a lady in town who sells a charm, and that's what she told me. Like, if you have this charm, you won't, like, I don't know, get paralyzed or something. I don't think it's happened to me yet, but...
Huh.
Has it happened to anybody?
Damn, I'm going to start getting hit by shit on purpose just to see what happens now. Mm. That's interesting.
Ekans poison bite you. see what happens.
I haven't seen an Ekans yet, but I'd be excited if I did.
You ready, sir?
In battle, there's also a new system with agile style and strong style moves.
It watches New Japan? I don't pro wrestling? King of Strong Style? Like. Who's the King of Strong Style?
Is that like
whoever you've trained up enough to be an expert in the move. So when a Pokemon has used a move enough times, they like become an expert at it. And then you have the option to choose agile or strong. Agile, the actual power behind the attack is weaker, but your next turn might come sooner.
Okay.
And strong style is, it will be a stronger attack, but your next turn is going to be delayed.
Interesting.
So a really nice hot strat is to use agile immediately followed by strong. But you know,
kind of reminds me. That kind of
it's helpful though. Like sometimes when you're like,
I said you're pardon? Proud of that one. Like that strategy you figured out. Like,
as if I came up with that on my own. You know, I read that on the internet and was like, oh damn, that's a good idea.
It does remind me a bit of.
It really does work though.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of Bravely Default, where you could default and then brave a bunch to win the round real quick. All right. That anything else on Pokemon Legends? This has been going for quite a bit.
Not long enough.
Have they talked about the Big A yet? Like Tina, have they mentioned about this Archon like Pokemon?
Big A starts the show.
Like in the first minute or something. Yeah, like
first, second.
Does he, like, sneeze and then the world appears? I don't understand.
You'll have to buy the game to find out for yourself, Gabe.
Yeah, we're not.
Or you can just tell me.
To address really early, you were like, I didn't play this gen. Yeah. I don't really like. Meh. I also did not. I don't know any of this gen's Pokemon, basically. Like, I don't know shit.
Yeah.
And so what I have learned from Pokemon Twitter is there's a whole fucking goldmine of, like, Pokemon lore happening in this game that I don't understand.
Oh, interesting.
That's great.
But in exchange for not understanding that, I get to have the joy of running through a field and cresting a hill and being like, what the fuck is that? And having no idea what I'm looking at because I don't know what any of these Pokemon are.
Yeah.
And that is, like, you can't put a price on that experience. That's phenomenal.
That's fair.
Yeah, story-wise, we don't need to get into it because apparently some people really care. But just, like, the very opening of the game, at least, you know. So what's the region? Is it Sinnoh, this one? I forget.
Pre-Sinnoh, I forget what it's called.
Hisui, I think, or something like that. But it's basically that's the sort of generation that it's coming from or whatever. And, like, you know, the game starts with you falling out of the sky. Like, this is, like, the opening 2 minutes or whatever, so it's not a thing.
Wait,
like,
literally?
Like, you're falling out of the sky, and you land in this, like, kind of ancient-looking land. Like, everybody's got, like, very sort of Japanese-style clothing and like, the wooden sandals and things, or I don't know if they were wooden, but they were weird-looking sandals. And, like, and meanwhile, you're there in, like, a t-shirt and shorts, and so they're all commenting on your weird appearance and stuff. And so, you know, they're setting you up immediately for, like, okay, something's going on. But they don't, like, you starts out thinking, oh, something intriguing is going on here. But then, like, 2 minutes later, they're like, oh, you're the kid who fell from, like, the space-time continuum in the sky or something. They don't even, like, try to hide it. They're like,
oh,
you fell
from
the fucking warp zone. It's like, oh, okay, I guess it's not that big of a secret. I don't know what's going on, but... So they're not trying to be... I mean, I'm sure there's mystery going on, but they're not trying to hide, like, anything weird in the beginning. It's just, it's the game... You literally fall out of the sky, and that's how the game begins.
So it's technically an isekai? So
that's the thing that was never addressed in the promotional things that, like, people before playing it shouldn't know. Because before playing it, people are like, ooh, it's ye olden times.
Right.
They don't know that they're not from ye olden times.
Or it doesn't look like they are anyway. You never know. They could have fell out of the sky from the sky across the other part of the
world where they have t-shirts. Bro, you had a cell phone.
What'd you say?
You had a cell phone. You had a
that's
smartphone.
Right. Your smartphone turns into, like a, what do they call it, an arc?
A god phone
or something, I forget. Yeah, so before when Tina said, like, the first second of the game or whatever, before you even fall out of the sky, like, a voice is talking to you in a dream or something, and that is
it's Big A?
Arceus. Yeah, so.
So my hot prediction, you heard it here first, you're a kid from, like, the normal Pokemon games who's, like, drowning in the ocean, and God was like, oh no, this child. And, like, instead of dying, you just got fucking time warped into the past.
Praise be.
Suffering. All right.
Praise be Arceus.
Well, we'll come back to that for the spoiler cast episode of,
this sounds neat. I might actually get into it.
It's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
I
so like
more.
Not knowing anything about the gen is great. It's a great.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever been super necessary. I mean, I was there at the beginning of Pokemon. That was, like, you know, I was around for the first gen and the second gen, and those are really big to me. And of course, I spent a ton of time with them, but I haven't really spent a lot of time with anything since. I play them all and usually get tired of them after, like, 10 hours, and I don't follow them that closely. And I've still had a, you know, decent enough time with all of them. I don't think you need to be, like, you can come in blind and still totally enjoy this game without a doubt.
Cool. Like, changing it up. All right. So looking at the other games we've been playing.
Wait. Last thing. Sorry, because you didn't, Gabe, you didn't ask the all important question.
Okay.
Tina, who was your starter?
Oh.
Ooh.
I didn't know there were starters.
So leading up to the release, I was convinced that I was going to use Cyndaquil. Mm-hmm. But then I saw that round little owl and was like, nope. And I went with Rowlet.
Who are the starters?
That little hoot baby Rowlet.
It's Rowlet, Cyndaquil, and what's the other dude's name?
The otter one.
Oshawott?
Yeah, that one. How about you, Roy? Who'd you pick?
Which, they're all from different gens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
257?
Yeah, Cyndaquil was the only one that I was
Roy, who'd you
with.
Pick?
I did Cyndaquil. Mostly because I know what the other ones look like when they evolve. And Cyndaquil was from the pure times when a Pokemon just got bigger, didn't get, like, weird, like, there wasn't any DNA of Digimon in there, so.
Right.
I don't know, Blastoise.
I'll be interested to know your thoughts on that.
Oh, do they have different evolutions for, okay.
Maybe, yeah. Oh.
I think you do know. I think you do know. We'll check in.
I did Cyndaquil as well. I mean, that's my favorite gen, so I just had to. But also, I felt like when I was younger, I would pick, like, I would try to pick the one that I thought people weren't going to pick. So I would usually go for, like, the leaf Pokemon or something, because everybody wants, like, fire or water or, you know, whatever.
Yep.
But this time I was like, nope. A, I like that generation, and B, too, he just looks like he would kick the other two's ass, and so I picked him.
See, Chikorita was my starter on Silver. I loved Chikorita.
I think mine too, probably, because like he's I said, great. Back then I was okay with, you know, being going with that sort of thing. But yeah, this time.
What are you implying about
that
Chikorita?
Sort of thing?
What I used to do back then, probably you guys did too, a lot of people probably even still do, is, you know, I got both Silver and Gold and played one of them up to at least being at the point where I could trade him to my other guy, so I had both in one cart, and then I would like have two of them on my one cart, and then, you know, keep going from there.
I
love
brothers.
That game. Gold and Silver is my favorite Pokemon, and one of my favorite games ever. It was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how, like, exciting and weird it was when they were like, there's this mysterious, strange colored Pokemon in the waterfall, and you're like,
oh, right,
the
red Gyarados?
And it's like this wacky red Gyarados?
Oh, yeah,
like, what?
For shiny.
They had so many good ideas with Gold that, like, if they just paced themselves better, because the good ideas really dropped off after Gold, where they were like, what if two Pokemon at the same time? And then, like, they built a whole generation around that.
Right. Mm. And then they took away, like, the 24-hour clock, which was, like, I think the best thing
about
that game, which was, like, so amazing.
No.
Oh, I remember, like, sitting around waiting for the Safari Zone to, like, open and close, or, like, I wanted to catch specific Pokemon, so I had to wait for a certain time of day to be able to do it.
Dave, why you give the big thumbs down?
Yeah.
Because I had limits on when I could play the Game Boy, so there were literally Pokemon I would never catch because
sounds
I wasn't
like
allowed.
A problem. You need to take up with your parents, Dave. Not with Nintendo or the Pokemon people.
And I always got daylight savings time wrong, so the clock would always be
well, whose fault is that?
Wrong. 2 hours off, so I'd be playing at like 4 p.m. and then it thinks it's 6 p.m. because I can never remember.
Wait, so does that not mean you couldn't just change the system clock to whatever you wanted
on
it
Game
to
Boy?
Be? Could you not do
I don't
that?
Know
you
could change the time.
Could.
There was no system clock. You play. It was the clock was on the game itself.
Yeah, like you set the time
is
at the beginning.
No, like in-game way to, you know, like take a nap and change to a different time.
No,
that was
World.
So. No, I mean
you might be thinking of Animal Crossing.
Oh. Yeah.
But, I might have
so
been
like,
if I had played
any Pokemon
both.
In the morning, I was never able to get. Never
just,
able
just
to get.
Just a real quick aside before we move on about that Gold and Silver. Did any of you guys play the remakes? Because
Gold?
Yes.
Or did Soul they Silver, also have the 24-hour clock, or did they like change it for that?
Yes, they I think did. It did.
I don't remember.
I'm sure they must have, but like the DS has a system clock, right?
So you were cheating all the time, like you do Animal Crossing.
I didn't play it that much.
I never really play it. It's like on my backlog because I never played the remake, but I always felt like I would want to. Maybe
one of the best things I think about Heart Gold was you could have any Pokemon you want follow you around.
Yeah.
And it had, I think it was called the Poke Walker, where it was like this little thing you could take any Pokemon you want, put it in there like that Pocket Pikachu kind of style.
Yes.
And then you go and you walk around and it generates points and stuff. It was.
Yeah. That Soul Silver is where I caught my first shiny ever.
Oh, what was it?
It was a shiny Ponyta. I was literally on an airplane.
Ooh.
And I'm like heart dropped. And I'm like, suddenly you try to remember every single rule about Pokemon when a shiny appears because you do not want to let it go. So like, it was, I still.
See, I
never forget your first.
I didn't
never.
Know. Until like recently from reading it on the internet, what a shiny even was.
Yeah.
So I'm certain that I ran into them and was like, bye, I'm going to murder you. I'm sure I didn't think anything of it if I did run into
my second shiny, I accidentally knocked out because it was,
I have a sad shiny story where I was trying to catch Growlithe with a good nature. That's what I always do every Pokemon game. Catch like 20 of the same Pokemon until I get the right nature. Find a shiny Growlithe. I don't know if you know this about Growlithe, but one of the moves he learns at a low level is Roar.
Yep.
And what Roar does is it just ends the battle. He just he scares your Pokemon away, and that's it. Man. And he did that to me first turn. So, no shiny Growlithe.
But you know what that means? He probably wasn't a very good natured.
Probably,
hey, well, no, he was an asshole. Obviously,
I was always taught by friends in school: save the Master Ball for the Pokemon that can flee or roar or self destruct. Like, that is what you use the Master Ball on, the like shiny.
So I use my Master Ball on a Voltorb?
Yes,
got it.
It's a shiny Voltorb, and you do not want it to self-destruct. Just don't take chances.
All right. Well, thanks for indulging my silver gold memories.
No, those are awesome.
That was a great game. And, oh, we're not done. Remember how fucking exciting it was when you thought the game was over?
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, oh, no, bitch. You thought we were done here? We've got an entire second game in here for you.
Pinpoint the geographic location on planet Earth, like where I was when I was. I know the sofa I was sitting on, like when that happened, because it was such a, at the time, it was such a eye opening, like mind blowing moment. But yeah, that was super cool.
I think I already knew that. I also, very last thing, Pokerus, I got in Soul Silver for the first time. Yeah. And I was like, what on earth is wrong with my game? I'm scared. That was the weird, like, IV EV booster thing. That was actually really valuable. Don't worry about it, Tina. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's a Dermot thing. Don't worry about it.
Nerds. Okay. What has anyone been playing anything else? Or I think Roy's about to explain it, but I almost feel like it's better.
Let it go.
If you really need to know.
Absolutely. I got into that Dark Souls series.
For the first time?
What's Dark Souls? Never heard of that one.
Yeah, for the first time. Like last year, you know, on this podcast, I said, hey, I tried this thing called Demon Souls. Liked it. And I pretty much started in 3 or so weeks ago. I've gone through Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 2, and now I'm in Dark Souls 3.
Damn, man.
I was about to be like, so how quickly did you beat the first one? Because remind me again how quickly you beat Returnal.
I was like 15 or so hours. I only died like 11 times or something like that before I got Act 3 done.
That's ridiculous.
I got lucky.
You guys really pro gaming out here, isn't
he? Yeah, I think so. But Dark Souls in for your first time, do you have like a guide open while you're playing or something? Or
No, when I got lost and was lost for too long, I gave myself like a soft time limit of like, if I can't find something after an hour, like I would call a friend. Right. So I'm just going to look something up. I think it was playtime was something in the 40 something hours for both Dark Souls and 1 and 2.
I wanted to ask if you had said that. Oh no, I just figured it out. Cause when I was replaying Dark Souls 1 recently, I was like shocked at what you need to do in order to fight the four kings, where it's like, you need to kill this one boss that drops a ring.
Yep.
And then you have to go to this big hole in the ground and jump into the hole with the ring on. And there's like nothing
that
tells you that. Like that almost was, nothing.
I had to look that up. That was one of the spots where it was like I spent an hour running around and not knowing what to do.
I want to know the first person who figured that out.
I don't know. That game
Tina
is cool.
Hiding from potential spoilers just now. Are you going to play Dark Souls?
Yeah,
is that why you don't want to hear this? You're not gonna remember this. When you get into that game, there's like a thousand things like this. So like this one will just pass you by. But I'm more curious. Like, are you planning to play soon? Is that why you were just hiding?
Yeah,
for those who can't see, which is all of you. Tina just like took her headphones off while Gabe and Roy were talking about that.
It's kind of high up on the next things to play list.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So
I will say I won't get too much into any of.
I mean, I can just take my headphones off and walk away. Like. If the people want to know, that's fine.
I didn't realize how many bosses were optional. Because one of the things I really like doing is, so I beat Dark Souls. I got through the Gaiden ending. And then I immediately went and watched a speed run from the Games Done Quick archives. And then suddenly I was just like, whoa, look at all of these other things I didn't do. I didn't realize that was an illusion. I didn't even know there was a boss down there. Oh man, that's cool. I'm not going to go and do it, but that's really cool.
Yeah, I don't remember how I even, I mean, I've talked about this a million times now, but I literally took like a year and a half to finish that game, mostly because I just was only playing it in really small bits at a time. But like,
yeah,
I don't remember I must have asked for help or something. I don't remember, because some of that stuff you would not easily figure out on your own. Like, it's one of those games where you're supposed to kind of, like, it's like it is really was like adult Zelda. Like, you're supposed to kind of trade tips with people and like, oh, what weapon should I use to get through this? Or how should I beat that boss? Or what's a trick to get around this? Oh, how do I pull that end boss down so you could beat him in like 2 seconds? You know, there's like a whole bunch of that kind of chatter with that game.
Yeah, I will say, having come from like Demon's Souls and Bloodborne, like the one of the hurdles I didn't have to deal with was character builds. Like, I was able to just grasp the stats and go, oh, okay, all right, I want to use this kind of weapon, so I need to go for those stats. I don't have to worry about anything else. So like that saves a lot of sort of like thinking about the like light RPG sides of this of the game.
Sure.
But it was like so much of one Dark Souls in general, where it's just like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here, like, sure. I don't, is this right? I don't,
they need the, like a, the,
go ahead. Oh,
I was gonna say they need like a big fat red-eyed Snorlax there to like turn and look at you angrily, so you know, like, okay, maybe this, maybe I gotta come back later.
But that's,
I
mean, like every have enemy that in the game basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of have that. Tina, you're muted.
Okay, I'm back. She's back.
Hey.
Hi.
That's something I'm kind of concerned about for myself, is you know how there's people who just kind of run towards the destination, and then there are people who are like, let me turn around every single corner and see if there's an item down here. Can I go backwards before I can go forwards? If I take this left branch and then there's another left, I'm going to go back and check that right branch first before I proceed. Yep. And it just absolutely plagues my mind, needing to know that I've seen absolutely every single.
That's how you play. That's the right way to play.
Yeah.
But like, is it
how you play, but also,
is it going to hurt me, or is this going to be fun?
The fun hurt.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hurt you good, if you know what I mean. Like, Dark Souls, I think kind of beats that out of you, or at least beats you into like accepting that you're going to have to play by its own rules. You can't really play by your rules. And so, you can do that, and like Roy said, you kind of need, well, it is a way to play. It's not the only way to play, but you want to do that. But at the same time, you will come to parts in that game. Everybody has their own areas of that game they get to where they're like, you know what? I do want to take the shortcut. I can't do it my normal way because the game is just relentlessly beating my ass, basically. But that comes to be one of the appeals of the game. And it's a weird, thing that just Dark Souls, it's a beauty of Dark Souls.
I think it's like a leftover of playing PlayStation 1 JRPGs, like, you know, where you're in an area and it's just sort of like a tree with a couple of branches, and there's like a crate with an item in it at the end, and you want to make sure you find all those crates before you proceed to the exit. And it used to be easy to tell which one was going to have a crate and which one was the exit. And somewhere along the way, it became harder to tell.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 1999 and now, something changed.
Partially because I'm in the middle of playing Dark Souls 3 right now. I feel that it is very good about the, like, I got a left and I got a right. So you know, it is pretty good about, like, if you go right, you will hit a dead end within one or two or three hallways-ish, like, areas, if that's not the sort of progressive path. You'll get something cool, like, oh, here's a key item that you need for the blacksmith or something like that. So like that, you described exactly how I've been playing Dark Souls since I got into the series, of just like, oh, I can go two ways. I'm going to go right for a minute. Oh, okay, hang on. I'm going to go left for 2 minutes and then see what happens. And it's been like, it has been very helpful because it rewards you with things that will make playthrough easier with items and stuff like that.
Sometimes Dark Souls rewards you with killing you in fun ways too. Like, you have to kind of, I think you have to enjoy that aspect as well. Like, I think it's Dark Souls 2. There's this one room where there's like a door, and if you open the door, it just drops off into nothingness. And you could, you know, if you're not paying attention, you'll just fall right off. And you just have to be like, bravo.
Oh, yes, it's like,
think of these clever ways to kill me.
Yeah, and that is always the sort of the golden rule of Dark Souls, is like it's always your fault. Like, it's never the game's fault. Like, and that's why you keep coming back for more, because like you're always like, okay, I was this close. If I go back, I know I could do it next time. It's never like, oh, the game was cheap and, you know, it beat me unfairly. It's no, you got to get better. Like, you know, you, and it's just the harsh reality, but yeah, that's kind of the beauty of it. Like,
there was, like, just before we were recording, I got invaded by an NPC dark spirit, and I was winning pretty handily, one hit away, and then I dashed into a bad position. Suddenly I can't swing my weapon anymore. I keep hitting the wall, and now I have cornered myself because I was playing with my food, and I should have just taken down the spirit rather than try and make sure, like, it was so, like, it was my fault. And I was just like, yeah, I dodged left. I should have dodged right. I'm going to give a thumbs up sign for Tina to let her know she can rejoin us. I also am playing it online, like letting myself be invaded and stuff.
That's good. That's good.
Can you not let that happen? Can you turn that off? Or I don't remember.
So if you say undead, you don't get invaded.
Not in Dark Souls 2.
Yeah. Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 3 let you set a password, so you can play online, and then unless someone guesses your password, you can't be joined by them.
That's kind of nice. The stress of invasions is a little much for me. The stress of that game in general was always a little much for me. But
yep.
I'm actually curious though, Gabe. Like, the sort of trending attitude about the series has been like, one, you know, amazing; two, kind of a weird divergent, maybe not necessarily bad, but not nearly as good as one, and then three, like a return to form, if not better than one. But like, was that your experience? Like, what did you think of Dark Souls 2?
I like two more than one.
Really?
Yeah. I think it might just be the story and the presentation.
Story is good in two, yeah.
It is really different. It is a really different approach compared to one. Huh. One, I would probably is tainted by the fact that, like, I found one the most frustrating because it was me relearning how to do a Dark Souls game, because I hadn't played Bloodborne since, I don't know, like July or whatever. So that was extremely frustrating then. But then two rolls around and like I'm beating that hippo in the first area and it's like, wee, this is great. I'm in Dark Souls. Cause I still have all the muscle memory and movement and stuff, but like, I'll give you an opinion of three when I get it. Right now, three feels like, hey, remember Demon Souls? We do.
More so than Dark Souls?
Yeah, specifically with like the weapon upgrades and stuff, where like it has a very, it's very similar progression route. In Demon Souls, they are very similar. And then like the layout is similar, and the like level up lady says almost the same thing when you touch her to level up. But like, I think three plays the best so far, but I think I enjoyed two the most. And again, that was probably as I was getting into the groove of things.
And are you doing this all as a warm up for 2 weeks? What is it? 2 weeks from now, next week or
something?
End
of February. I have not pre-ordered that game. I'm going to give it a, like, see what the initial buzz is. I'm a little hesitant.
Come on. You really need to, like...
Hesitant?
I'm hesitant about the open-y, world-y aspect.
All the Dark Souls are open-world-y.
If it's like that, sure. But, like, it's big and expansive and, like, sometimes... Not all.
Just
like, you got a horse now.
Well, you. I mean, Gabe. Yeah, you have to be a part of that conversation. Like that is literally. This is one of those, you know, rare cases where like most
it would
of the breathing
nice.
World is going to be playing that game.
Yeah,
like, at the end
it'd
of this
be
month.
Nice.
Actually, it just occurred to me. Should I maybe not play any of these and just get Elden Ring and be like, "What the fuck is up with this?"
That's totally fine. That's a totally okay approach. You could have the. You know, the effect of like burning yourself out if you start to try to play some Dark Souls beforehand with only like 3 weeks to go.
Because I wasn't
you could dip your toes in and just see.
If you have, I would say Demon's Souls since the remake. If you have access to that, or if you think you can get that, because it's very
well. Basically, any of these is going to be. I'm going to be buying it on the PlayStation Store. Like, I'm going to be giving them some money, and they're going to be giving me a game. So.
It's really hard to give advice about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's just so many games and they're a bit of a commitment. So it's like.
What I've been told is that I want to get the Dark Souls remaster. Is that right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to play a Dark Souls, you're going to get the remaster. And don't get it on Switch. I mean, you can get it on Switch.
Oh, that was like, not even. I wasn't like even considering that.
Yeah.
I was going to, and then I was.
Yeah, no. But, I would wait. I mean, we're this close now.
Yeah.
The fever's going to be there. And I think if anything, you don't, you're probably not going to get through all of them, if even one of them by then. Most people aren't Gabe. And then also, like, you know, you don't want to risk burning yourself out, you know, before it happens. Like, it's because it is going to be an exciting kind of event to be part of.
But what if the new one is so good that I can't go back?
It's okay then.
I mean, I know that's not going to happen to me, because I go back to shit that's like 20 years old and I'm like, this is phenomenal. So I'll probably be fine. But
I'm going through the series now and having jumped around and all this stuff, like, it is fun to see sort of the mechanical progression of the Dark Souls series.
Yeah, I want to play 2 and 3. I've always have. And it's just really weird to say it now because it's so late. But I think I am going to, you know, go back and do them soon. I'm not going to play 1 again. I don't need to ever touch that game again. It was brilliant and I loved it. But it was scarring too, because, like, it was just such a thing to get through, like a trial. So I want to leave it as a lovely memory that I will never go back to. But I do want to play 2 and 3.
Yeah. And, like, I only did one of the DLCs in Dark Souls 2. And partially because it was so frustrating, I didn't want to do the other two, and I felt like, you know what, screw it, I'm beating the game now. Like, I got to the point where it was like, oh, I'm going to do the DLC.
Did you do the DLC in the first one?
I did this. No, because I didn't know how, and then I beat the game and went, oh.
The first one was
the some of the best. DLC, or was that, or is, I'm trying to remember what the DLC was in the first game. I don't remember.
There's two, right? There's the painting?
I think that is one, and then there's, like, basically all the Artorias stuff is, like,
the
ring DLC. Dude.
I did the painted thing too, but I don't think I did the other one. But that was just because it was already in the game by the time I had already owned it by the time I finally played through it. So,
yeah. And then my new thing is watching speedruns and then watching the lore video afterwards to go,
yes, yeah, yeah.
Doing a big lore dump after finishing something is great. Like,
Dark Souls is the best for that.
I've always been that person who, like, as soon as a movie finishes, I'll, like, pull up the Wikipedia page for that movie as the credits are rolling to, like, read about
it. Spirit animal. Yep.
It's fun stuff.
I do that with literally every piece of TV, and, like, oftentimes I'm, like, watching, like, I think I just talked to you about this scene, right? I'm still catching up on Drag Race, like, season 13, and, like, midway through the season, I'm, like, dying to, like, learn more about some of these people, but I'm afraid to
look
it up.
No, you can't. Because you'll spoil it for yourself.
Stuff. Exactly. And so, like, but that second, like, the credits roll on the last episode, I'm, like, an hour on Wikipedia, like, reading everything and looking up people's social accounts and doing all that.
Okay. In the future, if you ever have specific questions about an old season, text me, because I will give you the answer, because I've seen every single season that has ever been of that show. I can't get anything spoiled for me.
Okay.
Yeah. I just checked. Elden Ring comes out February 25th.
I saw that,
Not next show, but the following show we will come in. I guess I've just been strong-armed into pre-ordering it.
Yeah, I guess we're all going to get it and fun. Play it and talk about it, huh?
I mean,
I think, like, it'll be fun to, like, be phantoms in each other's games. So
I think, like, what John was saying earlier is, like, playing a Souls game when it comes out is way different and better in every possible way than playing it 3 years after it's come out and, like, the servers are empty and, you know, and it's
especially
it's
with
the best.
Like, just sharing information with people and, like, did you see this and did you do that, and, oh, this happened to me, but that happened to you. Like, it's just there's a lot. Right,
well, it's a collective discovering.
Start adding me to those line groups, because I will gladly partake.
I mean, this is all assuming that it's actually going to be, you know, to live up. I mean, I think the pedigree is there, and so we kind of expect it to. And I think early impressions are positive, but, like, yeah, there is always a chance it's a total turd, too. But I doubt it.
Yep.
No
it's
way.
Kind of horse, though.
Roy's, like, impossible. Is anyone playing anything else real quick before you move on? Or, no, was there nothing else on the list? Because I realized... Go ahead.
I was going to ask Roy if he wanted to do a Final Fantasy 14 check-in.
I could.
John, how do you feel about that?
Well, no, I was just going to say, what is there to say for any of us other than to say that, like spoiled stuff, right? Like, what is...
Well, I can talk about some mechanics stuff.
Okay.
Briefly. Like, I was surprised how quickly, like, there's two things that they really, like, the new mechanics, they're like, we got this coded, we're going to make them do this a lot.
Yep.
One of them is just have an NPC follow you.
Yep.
It's like...
Wait, what, like, is that? Is that a new thing?
Yeah, it's like just part of the main scenario. It's like...
Oh, I see.
One of the characters is like, talk to me, and then you do, and then they just follow you around to different points, and it's like, okay, guys, like... No, we're on like it sucks. It's not. I mean, it's. I no, guess it's sucks. Just. I don't know if it sucks. It's just not something to be particularly proud of, I guess.
Wait, so what? Are they just like hanging out, or is this like a escort mission where it like sucks ass?
It's well, no, an escort mission implies that you could like fail or something.
Have you mounted when that happens?
Oh no, I haven't.
You fail.
Really?
They stop following you, and then they get out of range, and then you have to go back to where they started.
Oh, so you're trying to you're trying to guide a person to a place,
like a chump.
Can't you just put them on a Greyhound bus? Like, here's your ticket. Like, don't talk to strangers. Here's some cheesy like poofs for the road. Bye.
I mean, this is how you know it's a great expansion. This is my like major like. This is why this expansion sucks, but I love it. But yeah, like they do that a ton. Like, you know. Roy's right. They clearly figured out how to do it, and
yeah, and they're like, "We're gonna do this much." But the other thing is stealth. They're like, you know what? Yeah. You know what this game needs. You know what fits perfectly in an MMO designed for like cooldown combat? Stealth, which like it's very clunky and it doesn't work well. And
how does that like? How does that work? Like, what? I just
can it you works. Like, well, it's they like, try to do meter. Like if you've played Metal Gear Solid, you know, like. You know, the enemies have like a conical view. Yeah. You don't want to get in their view. You don't want to like. It's actually very similar to Pokemon. I think you can even. Can you crouch? I think you can crouch.
I think so.
No, maybe
there's
not.
There's a stealth button there that you can panic.
Are these like duties or dungeons?
Yeah, they're duties.
Or
what?
Okay. They're necessary parts of clearing the main scenario. So it's like you have to do them. And like this one of the things that I don't like about 14 is like there are these bits where it's like. It's a thing you have to do, like where they make you take the control of a character you don't often play as against like a boss that you don't know the mechanics for. You almost always fail the first time, then you can bump the difficulty down. But now you could go through all the cutscenes and all the talking again, unless you can skip it, which sometimes you can. Most of the times you can. And then do it all fucking over again. And it's like, anyway, the stealth stuff, not a fan. The following people thing.
It's the worst.
You guys, it's not that exciting. Otherwise, it's good. Huh. It's good.
Did you look into the grapes fiasco?
Yes. I played after the grapes had been patched.
So I remember, I remember last time we talked about it, I was like, grapes, and you were like, I don't know what this is.
Did I say that?
Was that not you? Was that someone else?
I think it was John.
Might have been me. Oh, I don't know. I still don't know the whole story. No one knew more about it than I did. So she was like, "Hey, look, it's the grapes," and they looked fine. So it must have been after the grape thing happened. And I was like, "Oh, all right, yeah." But
there was some really bad looking.
I've never
played
the game in my life, and I'm obsessed with the grapes. Like, people are putting out, you know, polygonal grape merch. Like, I saw a pair of earrings that were like the polygonal grape earrings, and I was like, I want those.
But I love that.
Am I being a poser if I do that? I don't play the game. Fuck.
No.
And I had like a whole crisis about it.
I see.
You're in on the joke.
It's so funny.
Roy, I just wanted to.
Go ahead, John. You're going to say something.
I was going to say, hey, Roy, I have 14 level 90 jobs.
Oh my God, Gabe. Don't touch some grass. Jesus.
Yeah, and this guy played through like 3 Dark Souls games in like 15 hours. And like, yeah, Jesus Christ.
No, it was 40 wow.
each. Were they all
better?
It was 40 each. All... That's much better. Yes, Gabe. Yes. Less time. Surely that.
Sorry, Roy. Go ahead.
Were they all 80 going into Endwalker?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not.
I have like one character at like 82 or something like that. Gabe has like 17 at like 90.
Well, I got 14 combat classes, and then I got like 6 crafting classes at 90. Jesus. So you know
that I, as much as I think all those things are cool, I will never do them. I don't have that kind of time. I wish I did, but I'm just happy to be able to get through the story. We got through.
That was such a read, John.
No, I don't mean it in a bad way. I literally do. Like, I wish I had that time, but I don't, and I never will. Like, we saw the real ending, I think, to Shadowbringers, maybe last week. So like, there's still a few quests left, but you know, like, it kind of ends in like 5.3, and like, yes. So that was amazing. Like, it was so
beautiful.
So good.
Beautiful.
So I'm kind of excited now. We're kind of taking a little break again, but I think we're going to get back to it soon. But I think next run we'll just clean up and then move into an Endwalker. So
cool. brace yourself for cutscenes.
How long is Endwalker?
If you sit down and watch the cutscenes and actually read all the texts, 60-ish hours, 50-ish hours.
Jesus Christ.
It's a very large game.
And how many expansions did this game have? I feel like such an old bitch talking about this game, but like, how many expansions did this game have?
Expansion, right?
Do we count a Realm Reborn?
No, that's not an expansion.
Okay, so then...
Three, right?
2.0. Yeah, Heavensward, Stormblood, Shadowbringers, Endwalker.
So the base game and each of those is basically a full-size, like, old-school, giant Final Fantasy game.
Yep.
Wait, what? Oh, you mean each one of them is?
Yep. Yeah. Each expansion, yep.
Right?
Yeah.
How the fuck are they putting them out so expeditiously?
They're not. It's been, like, 12 years or something like that. This started
this
in,
game is 12 years old.
10 years old or 12 years old, something. Yeah, it's not like this all happened recently. 10. It's just people have been talking about it recently, and a lot of people have been getting into it recently because it's just becoming more and more popular.
I see. It became so,
it's not new.
The meme where it's free to play up until XYZ.
That's been for a long time now. I mean, it was free to play up to level 60 for years. I mean, it's just become more and more popular over time.
It's good. So. It's not for everyone, but it's good.
It should be, though. It's really good. Last thing, since we don't really have... So if Mark was here, he'd be like cracking the whip, and that's fine. But he's not. So,
I'm glad he's not.
Damn.
Yeah, I feel like we're having some nice chill back and forths.
I did play some Banjo-Kazooie, as I promised I would.
Okay, everybody shut the fuck up, John.
I haven't played a lot, and but I will say, like... I don't have a lot of positive things to say in case that's what you're hoping for. I don't know if like you're like
I'm not hoping for anything, John.
Okay.
This is a hopeless place. I know this.
So first of all, I played the Switch version, which is, you know, essentially like the N, because there's the N64 game and then there's the Xbox 360 kind of, you know, remaster or whatever you want to call it. And
yeah.
I played the original game on Switch, and you know, for like probably, I don't know, 2 hours or something. I don't know. I played through like, you know, the sort of tutorial level. And
how far did you get?
A big chunk of the first. What's the first world?
Mumbo's Mountain.
No, not the first. Like the first, like painting you go into or whatever.
That's Mumbo's Mountain.
Oh, is that Mumbo? Okay. Well, then what's the first thing called?
Spiral Mountain.
Well, that's real original. Okay. Anyway, yeah, the second.
John.
Yes, Mumbo.
You need to check your attitude. You're coming in here with storm clouds. You're coming in here with storm clouds when it could be a sunny day.
I really am trying to be fair, and I think I was and will be fair. Like, I didn't hate it. I remember kind of hating it back in the day, but what I realized playing this is that I didn't play very far because I hated it like immediately. And one of the things I hate about it are the things that Mark and I like to joke about a lot, which is like just goofy ass looking characters, you know, I would say kind of poorly written, cheesy dialogue, the worst character names that the creativity was not brimming, you know, on that level with that game.
But
and, like,
she's a bear who plays a flute and her name is Tootie. What's not to love?
If you're six, yes. And that is probably what you were, I'm guessing. And a lot of the people who love this game. And what I realize is like, that is the divide is like this game. So for Mario 64 was like epic. Like it was like, it changed the scene. And like going from a game like Mario 64 to a game like Banjo-Kazooie, I get upset when people are like, I actually thought about it and Banjo's a better game. It's like, it's just a different game. Like, it's not a better game. It's not a better game, but it's also just a different game. Like, Mario is a game that has, like, precision, pinpoint, perfect fucking controls, like, where you could do whatever the hell you want if you get good at it. Tina, you're making a face, but, like, that either means you didn't get good enough or...
Oh, shit.
Yes?
Are you saying Mario is the Dark Souls of platforming? Because Tina's just got to get good?
Mario 64. Banjo-Kazooie is not.
Implication that I'm not good at Mario 64. First of all.
Oh, are you not?
You bitch 100% cleared that shit. I don't want to hear about it.
The controls in that game are a billion times better than, I don't even know what comes, like a kazillion better times better than.
Don't you dare. Don't you joke with me. This is not a joking space, John.
So the controls, you know, were an issue. The characters kind of bugged me out. I don't know. I guess the camera is awful. Awful. Like, the camera in Banjo-Kazooie is garbage. And that...
That's an Nintendo 64 thing. Like, the Mario 64 camera is also butt.
No.
It sucks ass.
For modern, like, comparing it to modern games, yes. But comparing it to Banjo-Kazooie, it is, like, the best camera ever. Like, there is a there is a big difference in the level of those cameras.
Bro.
And, like, and, so, yeah, and these, you know, it just reminded me that these were the things probably that kind of really bugged me about the game back then. But I wanted to give it a fair shot. And so I played, you know, most of the way through that first level, you know, collecting all the things, because there's so many things to collect. There's, like, the music notes, and there's the little blue things, and there's, like, five of this thing, and there's dragons, and there's all this shit. And then I died. I don't remember why. I was probably trying to, like, figure out how to kill, like, some monster that enemy that I didn't know how to kill. And I died, and you lose it all, which just like,
you know what that sounds like, John? Fuck,
this game is over.
That sounds like you need to get good, John.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It sounds like game design was evolved even by that point to the point where you should at least save that progress. Like, what a waste of my time and disrespecting of the player's, you know, like, personal time. And so
that to, is compare, one thing. To compare, sure. Real quick.
Okay.
So, to be totally fair, Mario 64 and Banjo-Kazooie are both very much run around this environment collecting a bunch of shit. But, so Mario 64, you have the red coin stars, where if you die in the middle of doing that, it gets reset, whatever. There's 8 of them. Some of them are a bitch to get, but...
That makes sense. That's the point of the challenge. I'm not... Yeah.
May I finish my point, John? And if you get a star, you keep a star. Which is nice. So Banjo-Kazooie, if you get a puzzle piece, you keep it. It's the same as the star. If you are collecting Jinjos, of which there are 5, and you lose and you die, you lose them, whatever. The music notes are fucking cruel, but also dope. They're cruel because if you die, it gets reset, and there's 100 of them. And if you die in the middle of collecting them, you lose all that progress and you have to start at 0 again. Yeah. But the level remembers what your high score is. You don't have to get 100 of them to get anything. If you get 60 of them, that counts towards your total to be able to unlock those doors. The game's designed that you don't have to get all 100 in every... If you get all 100 notes in the first couple of levels, you are set for several note doors. It's not designed to make you need to be able to max out music notes. It just remembers how many you managed to get.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're being a little unnecessarily salty losing your music notes.
I don't like... I guess that was
something that was fixed in the Xbox game. They were exactly, like, this is mean. We're not going to do this anymore.
What I ended up doing was like, I just... was like, oh, you know what? I'm not even going to play this version. I'll just play it on Xbox because I have that too. I have Game Pass. And so I switched over to Xbox and played there. They also made the camera like 30% less shit on Xbox. So like it's a little, it's still bad, but it's much better. Yeah. And so it's more playable. And like, and then on Xbox, I was like, I played through that level again and did a little bit. And I was like, okay, I'm not hating some of the things that were like really, really stopping me, but I also don't really like it, and so I just kind of stopped. Like, I don't think it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I can say this when Mark's not here because Mark won't let me say it otherwise, but like, it's fun to make fun of that game, like, for a lot of reasons, but like, putting that aside, I don't think it's like a terrible, 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 awful game.
We're recording, right, Gabe? Like,
highly, highly overrated. Like, I looked on Metacritic and it was like 80 something or 90 something. Like, get the hell out of here.
That's
it is
right.
Like, there were a lot of 3D platformers back then that were much better than this game. And also, you know, if you were there at the time too, there was a lot of build up to this game, Dream. It was called Dream, and it was going to just blow your mind and change the world. And for a long time too, because it got delayed a couple times.
Actually, so, I recently watched a thing about this, and it was like a whole informative documentary thing about like the development of it and what it used to look like. And it was this 2D thing, sort of like Donkey Kong Country. And it was about pirates. And then it all got fucking swapped out and changed. And it's like a completely different end product from what it initially was.
History. It was a super. It was originally a Super Nintendo game, and there's even like, you know, I think beta carts or at least photos of them in existence. I don't know. It's probably leaked. Who knows? But yeah, they made a lot of. They made a big stink about it in the lead up to.
They got John Lovitz to do that weird like narration VHS tape thing that I think we got through like Nintendo Power or something, where like,
did they really? I don't know.
Yeah, he like narrated the in between parts of like a tour of the level, so you'd hear John Lovett say Treasure Trove Cove.
That's a great level.
So anyway, yeah, I played it and I feel like I gave it a fair shot, and I think I can say that like it's, you know, it's again, it's fun to make fun of that game sometimes, but I also don't think like there's, it's not, don't compare it to Mario 64. The kindest thing I can say is that it just should not be compared to Mario 64. I'm not going to go out and tell you that you're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. That it's better than Mario 64.
I request the floor game for a brief rebuttal.
The floor recognizes Tina.
So I'm not going to be like, bro, you're fucking wrong. This is the best game. Like 100% nostalgia goggles are crucial for enjoying that game.
Sure.
It's a fun time to play through it, but I do think, and this is not necessarily saying that like this makes the game great, but a lot of that game's charm and like excitement comes from not knowing what the next levels are going to be and exploring mm-hmm. through Grunty's mm-hmm. lair, because it is so complicated. There's so many different paths, and you go through one path and then you find this weird door that you can't get through yet. And so you go someplace else and you find a painting that you complete and you have no idea where the entrance to that world is. You haven't found it yet, but you know that there's some world waiting for you called Click Clock Wood. You don't know where it is, but you're ready to go there. You go through and you find like all these different secrets, and then you suddenly uncover the entrance to that world that I unlocked 2 worlds ago. Holy fuck, here it is. So like exploring Grunty's lair is so exciting and fun, and a completely different kind of air quotes overworld map than Peach's Castle. So like the idea that like, I know that Banjo-Kazooie's idea of, you know, having worlds within a hub directly came from Mario 64. Like it's obvious that that's true, right? Sure. But they're not the same animal. They're very different. Like Princess Peach's Castle is exciting in some ways, but Grunty's Lair is just completely different.
If I was like, and I know, I'm not saying this facetiously, if I was like 8 when that game came out, it probably would have blew my mind. Like it's just that I was
100%.
So, you know, and that is a big part of it. And so, and that will just forever be my, you know, scenario and my situation at the time. Also, like the setup in the beginning is your sister gets kidnapped and you're supposed to save your sister. But like, I was like, good, keep her, because she's so annoying. She sounds like this game has like, it is this thing, which I don't even think it was an interesting thing for the time, where like it kind of, instead of having voices, it like applies a sort of sound to the text. And then when the text plays, it plays the sound, but her sound just made me want to like throw her in the lake. It's like, let me take her, and like, I don't need to save her, you can have her. It's terrible. It's so annoying.
The good thing is she almost never speaks throughout the game, but you do get to hear Grunty roast you in prose as you're running around, and she's just it's fantastic.
Did you at least, John, see the game over screen?
I did see the game over screen, because I saved and quit, and you have to watch that stupid game over screen even when you save and quit. Like,
well, if you were playing on a 64, you would just power off as soon as it was done. Like, nobody sat through that.
Oh yeah, but the first time you don't know that, right? The first time, it was my first time too.
Well, the first time you need to learn the lore, John. You need to learn the deep lore of Banjo-Kazooie.
You gotta watch my two-hour Banjo-Kazooie lore video. It explains all the item descriptions, all about the Cheeto pages. It's just like and subscribe.
All right. Well, anyway, that was my deal.
Notification bell.
I think we put Roy to sleep, so somebody wake up Roy and we can move on
We're going to play the news theme real quick. We'll see if we'll have a quick news session, but coming up, the news.
News. News. News.
You're just a winner every time.
No, no problem there. Never gets old.
All right. We're already going pretty long. So
yeah, we can speed through. I mean, the new, what is there to talk about in news, Roy?
The Yakuza, former Yakuza developer, Toshihiro Nagoshi, he has finally established a new studio in partnership with NetEase.
What's it called, game?
Nagoshi Studios.
Well.
Yeah.
I personally find it interesting because generally speaking, you don't see lots of sort of job changing in Japanese companies a lot. It's changing a little bit more, but you know, the average tenure at Nintendo is what, 13, 14 years?
No, and he had said some point in the past too. I think he said something. I mean, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was not that far off from like, I'll be with Sega forever or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. So to see him go was definitely shocking for a lot of people.
Yeah. He's
he
taken
did a big
few,
interview with Famitsu when this happened. Do you have anything from that or no? Like,
I do not. I only pulled up the Polygon article.
I see. Well, he talked about, they asked him like why he wanted to leave. And he talked about, just like wanting to kind of have a more smaller, like more intimate team and being able to do stuff. I mean, it kind of boiled down to like, I want to go indie and do new things. And that was just not going to be possible, you know, in Sega. So he took like half his team with him too, right? I mean,
yeah,
not really,
I was gonna say.
But like it was like 8 or 10 people, I think, went along with him who were formerly Sega as well. So it'd be cool to see what those guys do. Obviously big fan of that guy's work. So I'm excited to see what happens with them.
Yeah.
They're neighbors too. They're like one station over from 8-4. So maybe we'll go say hi. Maybe we'll go sit in front of the building and see what they're doing.
Didn't realize that. Staying with Sega. They actually announced that they are out of the arcade business, according to this. By the way, thank you, Polygon.com and Gematsu for this week's articles. But yeah, Sega has been hit pretty hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. Japan especially is really getting punched in the gut really hard with Omicron, at least by Japan standards anyway. Yesterday was what, 21,000 cases. Today I did not see today's number.
Down to 20,000 today. We've hit the peak.
Woo!
Oh gosh!
Just to cut in, so you don't go too far with this. This is I know it is a news item that's going around right now, but like this was kind of announced last year. Like, I mean, they kind of got out of the arcade business, and another company, was it Gee something or other?
GIGO
bought like the rights to or a majority share. And I think what happened now is they just bought the rest of their share. And so now even the Sega name that was remaining on the arcade boards and stuff, boards meaning like billboards or whatever, is gone now. And it's just GIGO. So they're officially not a like you can't walk through Akihabara and see a Sega arcade anymore or wherever. But it's not really any different from last year otherwise. Like they were already kind of out of the arcade business. So
that was a great landmark though, seeing that Sega.
Oh no, totally. It's sad. I mean, the first time I came to Japan ever, I still have a picture from that trip. It was like 1990, I don't know, 7 or 8. And like the first photo I took was just this giant Sega, the famous Sega arcade in Akihabara. So it's sad to see them, out. But I mean, come on. Arcades have not been a strong thing here in a long time. And it's not a huge shocker.
Yeah. Next one I got here, it is Final Fantasy VII's 25th anniversary. There are some strong rumors that we'll be getting a Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 announcement, this year.
Hoping that's
eventually.
True.
I put it in the rumors section, so don't quote me on that if it doesn't happen. But Nomura and Kitase said, hey, we got some remake plans, Final Fantasy VII universe plans coming up. I'm really based on like the intergrade DLC thing, both from like a story-wise and gameplay perspective, really like what do they plan on doing here in terms of like game stuff? Like, are they going to keep playing with the formula? Is it just going to be more? So really looking forward to what they have to show. Story-wise, they're getting close to losing me. We're getting Kingdom Hearts-y and I don't feel great about that. But Roy's smiling because he's like, "Oh, bless your heart."
No, I get where you're coming from. I think I didn't play the PS5. What is it, Intergrade or whatever?
Man, you should, man. You played 7, right? Remake. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I just I don't know a whole lot about it, but anyway.
Oh, it's good, dude. I can't imagine you not liking it, especially if Yuffie's the main character. Like, I don't know. I think you would dig it. It was really good, I thought.
All right.
Yeah. It's well, worth anyway. It's worth it.
Let the Kingdom Hearts into your heart, Gabe.
I still haven't played 3, believe it or not. I've been thinking about getting into those series. I like Star Wars. Next topic.
Star Wars?
I know. Some people like Harry Potter. Some people like Lord of the Rings. Star Wars is essential to my being.
Gabe, are you caught up on Boba Fett?
That show's not good.
Dude, you call yourself a... Give me that badge back.
So I watched the first 2 episodes. I haven't seen the following 3. Does it get better?
Did you like Mandalorian?
Yes, after the 5th episode.
You need to watch the rest of Boba Fett, like, tonight.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yes. Cool. I'm happy to retract the statement next show.
All right. Continue.
EA, their like final 3 Star Wars games that they're making are all coming out of Respawn. Respawn will be making a untitled first person shooter Star Wars game, Jedi Fallen Order 2, and they're getting some XCOM people, XCOM people. Huh? I am down. For
some Star Wars tactics action.
Star Wars tactics, yeah. So that, again, games take forever to make. So looking forward to when that comes out.
For people who don't know, the 5 of you who don't know, there was the Apex Legends guys, right? So, you know.
I was about to say, yeah. Speaking of EA, Apex Legends Season 12, Roy, have you dabbled?
It's not out yet.
Like I said, thank you, Roy.
What?
What?
My bad. I thought it was out. But yeah, season 12 is what's it being called?
Defiance, I believe.
Defiance. Thank you.
Gabe was like, what's it called? Where did that come from?
Maybe you were looking at the new legend whose name is Mad Maggie.
Yes, that is why I kept going.
Yeah, there's just real quick. The way that they introduced this character, well, they introduced her a long time ago. They do this thing where like they're kind of been bringing in characters that appear in the lore of other characters. But anyway, in her trailer, her announcement trailer, there's this scene where she's like being tried in some kind of like jury, like in front of a judge, and she like smashes her own face into this pole and like spits her tooth into the judge's eye and like.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, she's just like crazy is like the thing that they try to get across
in like
trailer.
A charming way or like a holy fuck way.
Well, in like a damn she's really mad kind of way.
what do you think of the Australian accent?
It's authentic. I don't know. It's fine. It's like Fuse is also very Australian. I think it's really weird how in the future everyone has very distinct accents. Like there's like I don't know if there's just like little space settlements where everybody just has the same accent or what, but it's
is Apex is in the future.
Whatever. Oh yeah, way like hundreds of years in the future.
So like wait, are the maps like they're dropping you into like little bio zones on a dead planet or
like one of them is like a really far like was a colonial outpost planet, like that kind of stuff. There's lots of sci-fi lore and like they play around with time a lot. Like some characters, I think one of them's like a time traveler. It's deep. As deep as you want to go into that stuff. There's like videos and things where people connect the dots.
And they even like they should have comic book panel things you could like download and read. So if you're into that sort of thing, go ahead.
There's also rumors that there's going to eventually be like an Apex Netflix animated series, so
I believe
that kind of makes total sense given the popularity of the League of Legends one. Forgot what it's called.
I know what you're talking about.
Dota 2 one.
I haven't watched it yet. League of Legends is a really, really popular, really well received show on Netflix. There's also what do you call it? There's no, not Final Fantasy Daddy thing, but there's like
what?
There's other Netflix stuff based.
Well, there's the Dota 2 anime.
Yes, but there's like basically other stuff in the works too. They've talked about like this is the kind of new thing right now is to take hot game properties and turn them into.
Speaking of hot game properties, Shenmue, John. Shenmue the anime series. Are you is it on your list? The Crunchyroll special Shenmue anime?
Are you talking to me? Like, do you think I'm going to want? No, thanks. I'm not. No.
What? He's just looking for some sailors.
Yeah. Well, I hope he finds them. No, not a fan. Not really interested. But cool. But you know, I'm glad they're making it. I'm not against people enjoying that stuff. I'm really happy that it has a lot of fans. So, I'd rather play Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay. All right. I'm okay with that. We didn't talk about this last show, but considering my tech background, I thought it was neat. Dark Souls had a legitimate security exploit in its network code. It was a vulnerability that led to something called remote code execution, which is bad. Effectively, a remote code execution bug means me from my machine can execute arbitrary commands on your machine.
Is that for anybody who had the PC version of Dark Souls? Or
I believe anything that was using that network code. So Capcom had to take down the PvP servers so that they could patch the bug. Rumors are that Elden Ring had that same vulnerability. And because the hacker group, reverse engineer group, whatever you want to say, they have been trying to get Capcom's attention, saying, "Hey, we found this bug and it's really bad. Please, you should fix it."
Do you mean Bandai Namco?
Yes. What did I say?
Capcom again.
That's okay.
Gosh darn me! I'm sorry, Capcom. It's because their next story is Capcom, and I keep jumping ahead. So they did something called a full public disclosure in the biz, rather than a responsible disclosure. Allegedly, Elden Ring may have had the same vulnerability. So hopefully, it'll be patched. And
it's worth noting that this only affects PC. So if you have a console, yes, right, you won't need to worry about it.
Yes, despite attempts at hacking the PS5 continuing, PC version only for now. The actual Capcom thing, they released sales numbers for Resident Evil Village. 5.7 million sales.
Nice.
That's really good. We talked quite a bit about RE8 on the last show, straight up spoiled a lot of that. So be careful if you go back to listen to that, read the description to avoid the spoilers. But that's the, right. Have they said anything about the DLC other than, hey, we're doing DLC?
I have no idea. I haven't been following along.
Sure. Also in that are the
come
Resident
to
Evil
us for the latest hottest news. We know
the other cool part, I didn't realize how well the Resident Evil 2 remake sold. That hit 9.3 million sales.
That was great. I mean, it was really, really good. I loved it.
One of my favorite games that year. So yeah, good for Capcom.
If you're a Resident Evil fan, by the way, just a quick aside, there's a, well, you can't see it because you can't see us, but I'm holding up an issue of On magazine, which came out, I think, today or yesterday, maybe.
Yep.
Japanese magazine, and they have a big game-themed issue. And in there, there's an interview with Shinji Mikami and Takeuchi-san from who's like the current head of Resident Evil in Capcom. And a friend of the show, often guest of the show, Alex Daniel, CVX Freak on Twitter, did a translation of the interview. So check his Twitter if you want to hear the original creator of Resident Evil, Shinji Mikami, talking about Resident Evil with the current man in charge, which is actually a pretty rare thing. Mikami has not talked a lot publicly about Resident Evil since Tango was bought by Bethesda. Because I don't know, you know, Bethesda's kind of pretty tight with their PR stuff, so they probably, well, I don't know. I'm making assumptions here, but I'm kind of assuming they didn't want him talking about it. But this one got approved and he's talking about it, and so check it out.
I will also say, has anyone seen the Resident Evil movie? I assume none of us have gone to theaters.
I can't bring myself to watch it.
It doesn't look good, but I kind of want to watch it for the train wreck factor. But I also don't want to go to a movie theater right now.
Wait, can you not watch it at home in some fashion?
I have no idea if we can watch it on some Japanese streaming services. I don't use.
Well,
no,
maybe use VPN or something.
I don't do those things, John. That's circumventing the law.
Called out.
I'm just looking at you. All right, sure. Gotcha. Yes. I'm not saying don't pay for it. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, they're...
What was the movie I watched recently that was like, I couldn't... Oh, Ghostbusters. Like, I think still isn't out here.
No.
But like yet. A month ago, it came out on streaming services in the West. So I just watched it that way. I'm not waiting.
Japan we got the
Matrix. A little too slow with those things sometimes. Like,
yes. Yeah. Last few stories here. I have not tried it yet, but there's a fan-made Bloodborne demake, a PS1 style...
No kidding.
Yeah, that actually finally got released. It goes up to the second boss, technically, first boss, Father Gascoigne. A couple of tweaks here and there just to make it work in that sort of blocky PS1 environment. I'll try it once I beat Dark Souls 3.
It looks so good. They like nailed the style. It's amazing.
I saw a trailer. The audio is also on point. Like, they got that good compressed PS1 sound.
Wait, this sounds like maybe this should be the first one that I play in the series. Damn.
It's short enough. It's a couple hours.
I love that we're getting... I mean, it's not exactly new. It's been happening for a couple years now. But I love that we're getting to this era of people attempting to make things in the PS1 style. You know, like with that sort of special grainy polygon look.
Yeah.
There was an era where it was like, oh, it really didn't age well, but it has certainly come around now to a point where it's just extremely nostalgic and I just love it. Like, it's warm and comfortable and I want to see more of it. I want to see more games that have that sort of, choppy, pixely 3D, you know, you can see the seams everywhere, yeah. You know, kind of PS1 look. I love it. It's really, really,
yes,
it's just comfortable. I'm watching the trailer in the background right now. I'm just like, it feels so good.
And our last two stories come from Nintendo. Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask will be the N64 games for February.
Ocarina of Time's already on there. Majora's Mask is the new one.
Yeah.
Really?
However, there have been updates to the Ocarina of Time one, so it doesn't look quite as shit as it used to, but it's still not perfect.
They fixed the Dark Link part at least or something, right? Like the fog.
They made the water is... better, because you know how like that room initially just looked like it was just like a stone floor. They've made it so it actually looks like water, but the fog is still not there at all.
Okay,
which you know is 90% of the atmosphere. Last episode, in that
maybe,
room.
But that's going to be pretty important for Majora that they fix that stuff before Majora comes out, because like there's a lot of that sort of effect going on that's just going to make the game look weird and different if they don't.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that they're preparing Majora. And like they're not stupid. They know what people are saying, I'm sure. So I'm hoping that they're having prepared Majora means that they have addressed those problems.
Yeah, agreed.
And lastly, from Nintendo, this came out about an hour before we started recording. December 31st quarter results. They sold 103.54 million Switches to date. Nintendo had a very, very good Q4, calendar Q4. I don't know what their fiscal year is, here in Japan.
You're going to keep going, right? Cause there is a very interesting part of that whole stat that I think is the part is like the worth
profit.
They've
surpassed the Wii.
There you go. Saved at the last moment. Ooh. About to be dragged.
Almost fired.
Yeah, like, it's a huge, momentous, like marked pass, which is they have sold now more Switches than they have Wii hardware, which is kind of insane. I'm looking through Twitter right now, I'm trying to find it because I'm going to roast myself. Somebody reminds me of this every year when, because last time it was like they're getting close. Here it is. So in 2017, there was a Nikkei interview with, at the time, Nintendo president Kimishima, and he was like, we expect the Switch to sell as well as the Wii. This was like a month before Switch came out. And I just wrote back, LOL, what?
Wait, is that a what with a U?
It certainly is.
Well, what?
And it's just LOL, what? And, somebody, I'm trying to find what else I said. Well, I don't remember, but basically I was just like, there's no way in hell. Like, no, like, but it goes to show, it's just the more interesting point is like, it's actually, I forgot, but at the time, yeah, none of us were sure that Switch was going to be a thing. Like, we didn't actually know Switch was, we were excited about it and it sounded cool, but there was a lot of like, is that what people want? Do people want a handheld combination handheld, you know, console thing? And Wii U was kind of, I'm not going to say disaster, but it was pretty bad. And like, I'm talking about performance wise, like it just did not sell worldwide and people were not into it. And there was like not a lot of faith that Nintendo was going to come out of the gate, you know, like could they bounce back and do decent? Yeah. But were they going to do Wii levels? Well, as I said, LOL what? And here we are now, you know, it's five years later, but like, it's kind of crazy that they've not only passed Wii, but like Switch is not even really slowing down. Like it was their best quarter ever or something, right?
Wasn't
it? Like
it was,
that's insane to me. Like 5 years in
with the pandemic,
at this point you start to wonder, like, are they going to make 200? Like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of crazy.
I remember when the Switch was announced, like I wasn't working in the game industry at all at the time. I was just, you know, bitch at home who plays video games. And I remember when the Switch commercial, like the announcement came out, you know, they're showing all the people at like the park, at the park table, like playing their games together. And okay, I was like, first of all, I don't have that many friends. Slow down. But I have, you know how like Facebook has like a, you know, on this day in 2017 and it shows you your posts or whatever. My reaction to that trailer was like, that's neat, but I don't want it. Not in like a cranky, angry way, but just like, this is not a console that they have made with me in mind. This is not something that is for me. And then like 2 hours later,
funny how that turned out.
Well, and then like 2 hours later, I put an update like, it has been called to my attention that I am a person who took 12 separate long haul flights for work in the last 2 months. Maybe this is for me. And you know what? It was for me.
Were we together that night? Did we know each other yet at that point? Because I remember specifically that night that happened, it happened at like 11 p.m. Japan time, and it was a Thursday night. And so we were actually drinking at Otaru, which was like our weekly kind of gathering before COVID. And did we know each other yet at that time or not?
I don't think that we knew each other yet.
Okay. Because I think we would have for sure been together at the time if we had. But I remember all of us watching that and kind of being like, yeah, there was just so much speculation and conversation about, you know, what this meant. But it was general excitement. But yeah, nobody thought it was going to do Wii levels of, you know.
I'm just glad that it works as a console that I leave in my living room plugged into my TV all the time. The minute that it starts sucking at being that, I will feel betrayed. Because for me, video games belong in my living room on the couch in front of a TV. That's just where I want to play my games.
Were you a big 3DS player or not?
Not really. I had one. Like, I got one at launch because of Ocarina of Time 3D. So I just wanted to get Ocarina of Time 3D, so I bought a 3DS.
Sure.
I played the 3DS a fair amount because I was in Japan and it was easier for me to get 3DS games than it was for me to get like Wii games or anything like that.
That was just kind of the thing to do. And you were probably taking the train to work every day and all those.
I don't play games outside of my house. I don't.
Really?
I don't play games on the train and all that. I don't fuck with that shit. I can't be bothered. I don't do it.
What did you do on the train then? Just out of curiosity.
I either sleep or I look at people around me. I'm a big train sleeper.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, I'll sit down and I'll do the little, like, just my head will dip and I will be asleep and I will wake up 10 seconds before I get to my stop. It's a great gift.
Right. That like magical ability. Yeah. I mean, that was the other kind of thing that was going on too, is like 3DS was sort of paving way. Nintendo had already said they're like kind of combining their development lines or whatever, the console and the handheld into one thing, and all this stuff was happening. So yeah, I mean, there was certainly reason to be optimistic, but yeah, not this. So, but cool. Congrats to them. I you know, I'm just excited that Switch still has, I mean, until Breath of the Wild 2, at least it's got a you know, track in front of it. And I mean, at some point we're going to get that Switch Pro or Switch 2 or whatever it is, but you know, with COVID being the way it is and everything else, and like it's really hard still to find a PS5 or an Xbox. Like, there is probably just a special quality to having a machine like that you can kind of still buy, and you know, it's affordable and have all these games, and it's kind of like the indie game, you know, haven at this point. So good on them.
I just really fucking wish that they would bring back the magic that was the Wii Shop, because that's a great That was a great
Mishap
loss.
Wednesdays, you can still listen to it and remember it every Wednesday night. So,
Ninja Gaiden 1, Ninja Gaiden 2, Ninja Gaiden 3. Chris in USA.
Chris in USA. All right.
If I didn't have to do the outro, I would have just said, that's the show. But
it is that time, Gabe. Tell them what they need to hear.
Thank you. You can find us on our homepage, 8-4.jp. Our second home, giantbomb.com.
Possibly. We've been told recently that some people have been having trouble finding us there, and that's partly our fault. We need to kind of talk to those guys more and make sure we're all on the same page. But you can find old episodes there, at least. I'm not sure if you can find more recent stuff there, but that is our second home, until you hear otherwise.
So. Yes, until you hear otherwise, it is our second home. We've got we've got a thread on Resetera. Let me know how to pronounce that Pokemon name, Big A. And you can leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. And finally, you can follow the show on Twitter at 84Play. You can follow me on Twitter at Gabriel DeLeon. Roy, where can they follow you?
I'm at Kotawari.
Tina, where can they follow you?
I am Tina Butts with 2 T's and a Z.
John, where can they follow you?
At John TV.
That's cool. So thank you, everyone. What? It is cool. It's a good name. John, you have a good Twitter handle.
Thank you. Yeah, it's served me well over the years.
Yes. So thank you. Although for joining
there is some other dude, like some, I don't, there's, if you look up John TV for years, there's some guy in America or something. I don't know what his deal is, but like there is a John TV out there who's kind of weird.
He's from America. That's his thing.
You know what? Well, that's just kind of by default. Yeah, it's not a mark against you. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. There's this guy who's like, I think he's like a guy named John, and maybe he's on TV or something. I don't know what his deal is, but he's never bothered me about the fact that I have this name, so he's gonna have to deal with it.
Awesome.
Thank you to everybody who follows me on Twitter. Tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your pets. Until next episode in 2 weeks, when Big Papa Mark MacD, father of 2 babies now. So now we're only a little while away from having 2 naked streakers in the background of our video chats when we record this podcast. hopefully he'll be back. But until then, Mark, congrats, of course, from all of us.
Yes.
Send Mark your congrats, on Twitter at Mark MacD.
Yes.
And until 2 weeks from now, who wants to take us out?
This, gamefacts.gamespot.com message board post.
This is the closer.
Arceus and Arceus. And the poll results were 61% in favor of Arceus.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Those
listen.
The people have spoken.
How?
Arceus is official English pronunciation, Arceus. While Arceus is official Japanese pronunciation. So both are correct, depending on which you prefer.
We did
well,
it.
Actually,
crazy.
Neither are correct because it's Seus, not Seus. But
okay, yeah, you know what, John? I'm trying to make it stop.
I think
this is the outro. Like, this is how we're closing out. Just 4 minutes of us going.
Yeah.
Out.
Yes.
We need Dermot.
All right. We do. We all good?
Correct.
I mean, are we? We can't even pronounce a fucking.
I'm going to say Arceus.
The name of our Lord.
I'm going to go with Arceus.
You say whatever you feel in your.
How
heart
do they pronounce you. It? This is a joke. How do they say it in the manga?
You mean in the manga, Gabe?
Yes.
Oh God.
Oh! Got him.
Moving on.
Choose.